Hey guys, we are back for another episode of the Libby DeLucian podcast. Isn't that an original name, Angela? Like the Libby DeLucian podcast. I have a great guest here today. Angela, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself, tell the listeners who you are and what you do.
Yes. So, and it is a great name because you are a legend. And so I'm privileged and honored to be on the show with you. And I'm Angela Chinowski. I got my name right. We're recently married. So new last name change. And I've been an entrepreneur for over 25 years, which dates me a little. But my first business was a dance studio. I've gone through different seasons of my life. And I'm super passionate about helping other business owners, small and medium-sized business owners, to get the freedom back in their life, learn to love their businesses and life again by operating in their unique genius, their gifts, their passions. So been on a business journey, like I said, of different businesses, coaching, consulting. Wrote a book a few years ago and now have a business named Unique Genius that we get to do just that, help business owners operate in their strengths and passions and delegate the rest through the use of strategic partners, whether those be roles inside their business or an executive partner, what people used to call assistants, but somebody that can come and lock arms with them and help them, you know, maximize their strengths in their life. And so that's my professional life. Personally, I have an incredible husband. I said, just got married to JC. We love doing business and life and lots of travel together, and together have four great kids spanning 13 to 25. And so just loving all the things in life.
Yes, we were having a great conversation before this started. And in my podcast, there's no separation between business and life and kids, because in real life, there's no separation. Even if you're an employee, if you're having a bad day at home, you're going to have a bad day at work.
Yeah.
Me and Angela were talking about the version of our kids, the version of ourselves that our kids got. And I always say that my oldest got the worst version of me as a parent. And
yeah,
what I find is that we actually have a better relationship because I am like conscious that he got the worst version. Mm-hmm. And actually, you know, I had a talk with him about it and like that I wasn't the greatest parent. And, you know, I apologize for that. And now he calls me all the time now, like almost not too much, but all the time. For, you know, and, you know, as we were talking about parents, you said you did the consulting and you wrote the book and, you know, you just got married. I think, you know, even one of the greatest things I learned was to coach other business owners. Mm-hmm. Taught me how to parent my children better. Mm. Right. Instead of yelling at them and telling them what to do, it was like, let's coach them through this.
Yeah, exactly. That is a great analogy. Similar experience. I mean, tell my kids, you know, now that they're adults, the oldest two are 23 and 25, the conversations of, I'm sorry, that is not a good version of myself. But now we have a great relationship as adults. And I would say to you, I was like, they call me a lot, not too much, but a great relationship. And coaching definitely, and part of it is because we had to become a better version of ourselves to be able to coach other people, right? That, you know, first leading ourselves well, and as we continue to evolve leading ourselves, then we could help other people, help and coach them to, you know, the level that we got to, you know, that next level. And so it did start with that. And yeah, our coaching clients, we couldn't yell at.
No, not at all.
You have to get this done. So it definitely works better in parenting to all the things that you use in coaching and motivation of, you know, the goal setting. Hey, this is the desired outcome that we both want to get to. And you have a choice. Do you want to come along to this or not?
No, and I love that because I was the kind of parent that would like threaten all day long. Like, I'm going to take the Xbox and lock it in the trunk of the car with the router and your cell phone. And he didn't care. It's kind of like, but when you coach someone, you can't threaten, right? And I think one of the biggest changes for me in parenting was leading them through experience versus always trying to tell them what to do. Mm. Right. And so experience share, hey, you know, when I was a kid in my experience, like this is what happened. Kind of sucked.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do it again versus like, you can't do that.
The experience share in stories along with like, hey, here's the desired outcome. Like, this isn't my opinion. These are just the facts. Like, this is where we need to go. Do you want this over here or not? If you don't want this, then go ahead and just act this way. Yeah. But this is the desired outcome most people want. in life. Yes. And if you want this, we have proven experience from myself and other people that this is the way to get here. If you'd like to try your own way.
Yeah. And it's funny because there was like this pivotal moment in my life. I remember I was in the car and my son called me for something. It was just this year. Or maybe it was last year. He called me for something. And I said, well, you know, sweetie, I'm not trying to tell you what to do. But if I were in your shoes, this is what I always say that. Like EO taught me all of these, like, you can't give advice or suggestions. You have to experience share or the whole if I were in your shoes. And he goes, no, mom, you've never been wrong. I want your advice. And I was like, oh my gosh, all the work in years, all the like, I'm like, wait a minute. What? Could you say that again? It's like, you've never been wrong. What? I was like, gosh darn it. Why isn't this recorded?
Yes. Why isn't this recorded? That's such a great thing. And it is one of the greatest feelings of adult kids now that we are a different and better version of ourselves and parenting adult kids is now my kids have never said to me, you've never been wrong, but they do when they call for advice and I'm like hinting at, and they're like, I called because I want you to tell me what to do.
Yes.
I'm like, hey, we won. We like not won, but like they finally think we're not crazy
wrong. You know, he was probably 25 or 26 when he said that. He just turned 27, and then he has a 17-year-old brother, and it's so funny. It's just like employees, right? It's like you have a bad one and the other ones kind of get traumatized from it, or you stop paying attention to them because all your focus is on the bad one. And it was so funny. Austin, he's my 17-year-old, he called me, he goes, mom, I just want to let you know I bought something and I don't want you to think I stole it. And I was like, Austin, why would you think that? We share an Amazon account so he can get Amazon Prime. And he's like, why would you think that I would assume that you stole it? And he goes, well, it's a big purchase. And he goes, and also what happened with my brother. So the fact was, you know, his brother, when this was like back when his brother was in high school, did steal it. And I flipped out and I made him give it back. And it's like poor Austin at 17, he's got like PTSD from all of the craziness and like his mom packing up his brother's stuff and putting it on the curb because she was throwing it away because he wouldn't listen to. He's like, I just want to let you know. I was like, okay, thanks for letting me know.
We have such similar stories. And I think when I'm just like, man, my first one tested me so much in doing all these things. And you look back and you're like, well, maybe that happened partly because the way I was parenting.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, 100%. It's like being a boss, right? It's like the whole thing that like, it's the fact that it's that statement where they say, well, no one wants to work. And I was like, no, no one wants to work for you. What kind of boss are you? Right? Yeah. Are you running them off? And that's 100% true with my oldest. It was, he didn't want to be with me because I was running him off. I wasn't a great mom or boss at that time. It took a lot of learning.
Exactly. And it is so parallel to business of, you know, when I ran my first businesses and I get, you know, the like shadow or not good versions of ourselves when we're tested, go back into that boss mode of being a boss. And that's definitely how I parented the first time is like as a boss. And that's how I led my first businesses. Again, I think when I'm stressed and in panic mode, I go back into being a boss instead of being a leader.
And I hate when people call me boss. Oh my gosh. I already warn everyone that works in the companies. Too. I'm like, please do not call me boss. Like, this is a partnership. I'm like,
yes. Yes, yeah. We are all in this together. Like, I am not your boss. Like, ah. But in the beginning, when you're running a company, I think you fall into that mode. And same with parent. Like, I'm in charge of you. And it's such a different mentality than, you know, in parenting and leading a company. Like, we're locking arms and we're in this journey together.
And if you think about it, at least for me, when I was a boss at the beginning, and when I was parenting for the first time, I was, as my 17-year-old son would say, I was a try-hard. I'm not sure if you know what that means. I was a try-hard. As in, I was trying too hard to be a boss, to be a parent, which you overcompensate and you over-micromanage, like you over-manage, you over-control.
Yes.
And that turns you into that stressful, like crazy, snippy person.
Yeah.
I was very much in your face.
Yeah. And I think as you say it, like, I didn't know what I was doing as a parent and I didn't know what I was doing as a boss of the company either. And so like you overdo it gripping for that control because you're trying to hang on to the control that you, some part of you thinks you don't deserve or you don't know how to do. So you have to control it to act like you do.
Yeah. And You're also trying to not get that whole prove everybody, you're trying to prove everybody wrong. Like, I can do this. Mm-hmm. Oh, I can run a business. I can parent. I don't know about you, but I was a young mom when I first had with my first son. So I was like trying to overcompensate so that I didn't get the whole, oh, I knew she couldn't do it.
Yes. Yeah. And there was a, I don't know, maybe there is still the stigma. I felt there was this stigma that you tried to be a perfect mom. Like there was this try to be some, I don't know even what it was now, but I was trying to be some version of something.
Well, I think society tries to tell us that moms look like this and moms act like this. Like moms cut the crust off the sandwich. I'm like, No, I don't. If you don't want the crust, cut it off yourself.
Yeah.
And I see that, like, we're totally like not even on business topic, but we can go back to business topic, but I see that. And this is hard for working moms because you think that you have to live up, whether you're a career mom, an owner, like a business owner mom, or you're just an employee mom. And there's this stigma that's like, we are supposed to act this way, look this way, and do these things. And so like, my mission is to like, not do them. So Angela, do you know that in 2025, my goal is to not cook?
Love it.
It's to not cook. It's like the biggest waste of time. I hate doing it. In my eyes, like, I just need to eat to stay alive. And for like a mom to say that, everyone's like, how can you not cook dinner for your kids? I'm like, they will survive. Someone will cook something.
Yes. I love that. That's so, so powerful. But that's exactly right. There's this stereotypical of what it should look like, balancing being a mom. And I don't think dads have that near as much. Again, whatever role you're in a career and being a mom, there's society telling you need to do all these things as a mom. And so you feel like guilty. And that's not true. And that's the concept that we have in the company of unique genius. And it runs through everything. Your unique genius is yours. It's not everybody else's. There is not some blueprint you're supposed to follow being a mom or being a business owner. Like, do what you like to do. If you don't like to cook, I mean, mine's different. I hate laundry and cleaning up. I mean, I love to cook, but I don't want to clean up my mess. I want to hire anybody to do everything else. My house manager takes on more and more and more of what I don't want to do because I don't have to do it.
Yeah. And so I love this topic because for all my mom entrepreneurs, mompreneurs, maybe mompreneurs, is, you know, we were at the beach and I was watching like all of these moms so not enjoy the beach. Because they were trying to do the thing that they thought they were supposed to do, like literally dragging all this stuff. And every kid had its own like water bottle and sippy cup. And like, they couldn't even enjoy the moment because they were too busy trying to be a mom.
Yeah.
And like, there's so much more to life than that. It's to me, it's like simplifying everything, simplifying like your home, your business, your life, your kids, like literally everything. And it was just really, I just watch and I'm like, it doesn't have to be that bad. And I see so many women, moms, just like burnt out, overwhelmed, consumed by the thing they think they need to do. I'm over here saying I'm not cooking, I'm not cleaning, and I'm not driving. That's the other thing I said. I'm not driving. Nope.
That I got help with that early with my first two. I was like, they were in everything. And I'm like, this is consuming my life. I will sit in the back seat.
And I hate driving. Computer. Yes.
I do too.
So I wanted to talk about something. And you just said it. It's what unique genius really helps you do. And there is a guy, Naval. I don't even know how you say his last name. But he talks about specialized knowledge. And I feel like that's what unique genius is. And that is where wealth is built, is with specialized knowledge. He just calls it something different. And with especially women business owners, like, what can you give up so that you can do more and more of that specialized knowledge? Where can we get help? Like getting an assistant, right? Getting that partner saying, I'm not going to cook. But what is specialized knowledge? He says that it's something that cannot be easily taught or replicated. It's gained through experience, curiosity, and passion, not formal schooling.
Oh.
Unique to you, often built at the intersection of your specific interests, skills, and personality.
You're going to have to send me this. Who is this by?
I don't know how to say his last name because it's a little like, it's Naval Ravikant. Love it. Because it's how wealth and money are built versus status, right? Wealth, money, status. And with wealth, it's really leaning into that specialized knowledge or unique genius and only doing that. I always say I don't want to learn how to do other things. I can have people to do that. Let me just keep doing like what I really am good at or that thing that's no one can do it like me.
Yes. And that, what you just said, I mean, that is like a beautiful, that's why I'm like, send that to me. That,
you're
that
like, send
is
it to me.
What, send it to me. I have to have that for the company, because that is when it said like at the intersection of like all those things, curiosity, and it is, and unique to you. That's what we believe unique genius is. That, I mean, I call it three different pillars, that it is your natural strengths and what lights you up. And then, you know, what aligns with your goals. But I think that's a more, even more beautiful description, because it's stuff that is you. It's not somebody else's blueprint. I think we got so off track in just what we were talking about and being parents and being business owners, that often we get like a coach as a business owner. We look at somebody else that has the company that we want to have, that's at the $1 million mark, $5 million, $10 million mark. And we just want their blueprint of what am I supposed to do as a business owner? Because what did you do? And that's not true. That's not what you're supposed to do. Like, you have gifts, and they're not just things that you are good at doing. They light you up. You love doing them. And people forget that they have the ability to design your life. Like, you have the ability to do stuff that lights you up every day. And like you said, that is how you create wealth, fulfillment, and freedom.
Yes.
Is when you just do those things.
Yeah. And you know, you got to put the work in, obviously, when you're growing, but yeah, it's great because it teaches you those lessons. But where I see people get in trouble is that they sit in those seats for too long, right? And they get burnout and apathy, mm-hmm, for their own business, because they didn't really have a plan saying, I'll cover sales for 3 months and grow the company, and then I'm handing it off. Like, I'm only giving like 3 months of my life to the sales team or whatever team. And they just sit there and sit there and sit there, you know. And I think though too, it's hard. For me, it was hard. Like, do you remember when X is easier than 2X? No. Live your future self now. That was the one. You're kind of like, what am I good at? What I don't know. And I think it's hard for especially women, because I think in general, men inherently have more confidence than women. Mm-hmm. It's hard for a woman to say, I'm a genius at this. I'm amazing, yes, at this. And I also think that if you're a woman and you have children, you feel selfish for doing it, like for focusing on that unique genius versus like, let me split my time evenly and say, I still have to cook and I still have to clean. There's a, especially for me, there was that like area of guilt of saying, but I'm supposed to clean my house and fold my laundry, or I'm supposed to drive my son to soccer practice, and versus saying, hey, this is what I am amazing at, and this is what's going to actually get my family further than me driving him to soccer practice.
Exactly. You know? That guilt that you're supposed to do both things. I think you're right. It's easier for men somehow. Women have been like taught this mentality, we have to do it all. And that's not true. And I did have this concept pretty early in my business career, just because I realized, not that I deserved it though, but in like having the dance studio, I was like, dude, I cannot make dinner and clean and drive you and teach dance. I literally can't. And I can make more money to pay the people to do the other thing.
And then you can be there for the important things. Like,
yeah, then you're present for the important things. And that's what people need to say. There's no badge of honor in busyness. And it does not make you a good mom because you folded the laundry. It does not make you a good business owner because you stayed up until 3 a.m. and handled all the projects. So letting go of that like badge of honor that you were like cool because you did it all, it's actually the opposite of that.
I love this topic because one, there are people who hate the hustle or talk bad about the hustle, right? Mm-hmm. But it's a different hustle, right? As you grow, you're handing off things and you're like, it's a new hustle. You're hustling towards, yes, a new level. So I get that. But then I love the people that are like, well, I just want a 4-hour work week. Like, well, so there's like different variations. But, you know, it's one of those things where none of them and all of them can exist.
Yes.
It's really up, yeah, to how you want to do it.
And what your goals are, how fast you want to go. Mm-hmm.
How much money you want to make.
Yeah. Yeah. So going back to that, there isn't a blueprint. I think of that's where it starts. That there's not a blueprint. You get to design it. You get to figure it out. But knowing that all things come from it, like you said, wealth, impact, freedom, fulfillment, when you focus on working in your strengths and passions, like all the rest of the things will come if you can be brave enough to let go of not doing the rest of the things.
And so I get this a lot from people. They're like, Libby, do you ever take a day off? Do you ever stop working? When are you not doing something? I'm like, actually, I don't feel overworked at all. And I do take breaks. And we went on a 26-day vacation to Mexico.
That looks fabulous.
It was until we got sick. It was fabulous until we got sick. But that when you see people like always like just excited for life, looks like they're working, they're hustling. It's because you're in that zone, right? You don't get tired when it's time to work. You get excited when it's time to work. And if you feel like you're tired or you're dreading it's Sunday and you're dreading Monday, you're not in your zone of genius.
Yes, exactly that. You're in burnout. Getting to operate like this, you know, takes those things off the table. And I love watching how you're designing your life. I think we're both in that area of focusing on people like, how do you travel so much? Well, we incorporate travel and we travel for the business and get to take breaks on it. And we weave it all in to being able to work in our genius. Yeah. And take time off. And there are days that we truly devote to rest and relaxation. But most people, when they rest and relax, are not unplugged either. They're like on social, they're not intently, they think they're relaxing because it's a weekend and they just didn't like check their email or something, but they're not doing things to actually intentionally restore their body either. Mm-hmm. And the difference is living your life by design and true intention. And so that we're working in powerful ways, we're also resting in powerful ways.
Yeah. I just hired a new coach and he kind of scares me because of what we're doing. But, we're focusing on working to almost breaking point, but you're going to rest like you've never rested before. It's very intentional, very hard and very fast, but then you stop with intention. So he tells me that we're like, I'm excited, but also very, very scared for my husband because, you know, it's me and like two other people and we're going to like 10X ourselves in 12 weeks.
I love it.
I know, but I was going
too slow. I have a 10X goal, but I was like, it's not in 12 weeks.
No, it's in 12 weeks. And I was like, oh my God, I'm scared for my husband. This is the first thought that came into my mind. It's like, I'm scared for my children and my husband because I'm very hard to handle now. Not hard, but you know, interesting. I was like, oh God, I don't know what's going to happen. So
it's going to be wonderful. At least you have the awareness that you're scared for him. So I'm sure you can have the preparatory talk like, yeah, buckle up.
Yes, buckle up. So I want to get back to the business and talk about, I want to ask you a really pointed question when it comes to women in business. And I just want your personal opinion. You work with men too, and you work with women. Do you work with more, do you have more customers that are men or women or like
men?
Men.
Yeah.
Do you think that us women tend to overcomplicate things more than men?
Yes. And I think it's because women have a harder time. And this is specifically, I mean, I can say that this is myself from my own experience and then what I see in our clients, because what we do is match people with strategic partners and help them let go, right? We help them let go of things. And as women, I think we have a harder time of letting go of control. And part of it is what we talked about throughout the episode so far, that we have this stereotypical women can multitask. We can do it all. We can do the family and all the roles in our business and for
be
years
a great
we've
wife
been taught,
and yeah. be healthy and be all these things.
For years, we've been taught that busy and doing it all was a superpower. And so our identities were somehow wrapped up in this superpower of I can do all the things in my business. Yeah, I can be a great mom. I can be healthy. I can be a super mom. I can do it all. Bake the cupcakes. Like there's some version of a woman like that doing 500 things, right? Holding a briefcase and a baby and all the things. And men didn't have that stereotypical thing. Like they have an easier time, I think, and from my experience in working with them, letting go. Like letting people handle it, letting people, other people in their business handle it and knowing like I'm leaving for work and my wife has the family. And so as women, I think we overcomplicate things because we have a hard time letting go, letting somebody do all the stuff for the family and in our businesses, passing things off and stepping out of the seats. We hang on to the seats for way too long and
way
then
too
get
long.
Help. We get help and an executive assistant or something, and then we're still micromanaging them.
Or you just dump it all on them and leave and it fails. I've seen that happen before. Yeah. Like they're so burnt out. They just dump it out. Like here's everything, I'm going. And then the poor assistant or, you know.
Yeah.
The reason I ask that is because I have the same feeling. I think we have a hard time. We're more nurturing by nature, right? And we feel like we have to nurture everything and we have to take care of everything. We have to do everything, you know, and I struggled with the same thing when I first started in business, especially with young kids. And so my question to you, Angela, is like, what's the one thing like you really remember. I mean, I remember mine. I'll share my story, or I can share mine first and then you can share yours. But
yeah,
what's that like one thing that you really remember, like overcomplicating, and you were not willing to like let go or give it up, and it's what the business needed, but you didn't want to do it.
I'll share mine. Yours?
Yeah, okay. I'll share mine. So I remember mine. Mine was, we couldn't hit $1 million in the cleaning company. This was a few years back. We just couldn't do it. We kept trying and we just kept kind of hitting roadblocks in the office, and it had nothing to do with the cleaners, but it was everything to do with the office. And I remember like the day having a conversation with one of my friends was like, man, we can't get here. I don't know what we're doing wrong. And it was like, maybe I should buy something else. Maybe I need another software. Like maybe I need more stuff. And it was, he's the one who told me, he's like, Libby, he asked me a few questions. And then it's like, Libby, to go over $1 million, right? And then to grow fast from there, you have to simplify. And I was kind of like, but no, I need more. Like for some reason in my mind, I thought it's like, I need more. And then when I looked back, I looked at how complicated I had made just my simple office, like logging into our CRM or answering the phones. We had a software for like a chatbot and a phone and a CRM and this and that. And like, I had just created so much complexity and I wasn't even using everything to its fullest. I had bought like 1,000 different things and only using like one thing of its capacity, but I made so much complexity, so many layers, and that like for my office staff, they had to like, so I always say measure how many clicks, it's like the lollipop commercial, remember, how many licks to the middle of a lollipop?
Yes.
I was like, how many clicks does my office have to do to get to the solution? I want to reinvent the lollipop commercial, like 1, 2, 3, like how many clicks instead of in the lollipops, how many licks to get to the center of a lollipop? Yes. And I remember that like day vividly. And I said, okay, like I have to start cutting back. Like, I don't care that my CRM doesn't do this well. It does it. We're going to use it whether we want to or not. Mm. It's what the business needs. It needs to be lighter and faster versus so much complexity. Or a great question is like, how many tabs does your office have to have open to do their job at the top of the browser? And like, that was my moment. I remember I was like, I was trying to control things through software, like through micromanaging them through software, that it was just like, I was creating this, like the stagnation in our own company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause you always thought you had the solution.
Oh yeah.
And needed to add a new one. Mine's kind of similar, and I'll do one of my more recent ones. And there's been a lot along the way. And most of them have had to do with me letting go of control of me being this solution.
We're not control freaks.
And one of the most recent is in Unique Genius. And to scale, it is true to really scale a business, not to grow, but to scale to 10x, not just 2x. You have to rapidly remove yourself from as much of it as you can and empower other people. And I was growing leaders, right? I was putting people in the org chart and growing and empowering leaders, but I was still trying to create the processes or hang on to the processes that I had created. Just like, you know, you had created all these things that worked to this level or thought worked, put them in solutions. So I had created processes that got us here and was expecting the leaders to follow the processes I created. Instead of, those processes aren't going to get you to 10x that got you here. I needed to completely let go and let the new leaders I entrusted make new processes to get to the next level. It didn't have to be them executing my process. You've got to let go and let other people, like, it's not just like, oh, put a process in place and entrust the leaders to execute it. You've got to get to a place where you're not the one creating the processes, that you're, you know, like that's the next level of leading, is you truly are the visionary. Like, this is where we want to go. I need each of you to create processes in your own department that'll get us here.
Yes. It's funny because the first thing anyone would say to me when you say that is, but what happens if they don't do their job? Like what happened, like by trusting and letting them go and saying, hey, I need you to make your, and my response is always, you're going to see that really fast.
You're going to see it. Yeah.
Really fast. I think the fact that we keep covering and doing part of their job or helping, or is that we're almost disguising the fact that they can't do their job.
You are disguising the fact that they can't do their job. That's exactly. People don't see, like, no, if you trust that, it's going to become aware really fast, and it's aware to them and it's aware to the whole leadership team. If you're doing it the other way and you're just having them execute, then it's like you're disciplining. You're in that boss mode again, right? Like, did you follow the process? no, you didn't follow the process. And then we're just like bringing up shortcomings. And then if they're having to lead and you entrust them, it's obvious to the whole darn team that like there's something broken.
Yeah. And most of the time they end up leaving because they know, then yes, they realize they can't do it. And there is no like firing or having to like do all these things. It's like they fail and they know they did.
Yeah. And there's no like discipline. I mean, everyone on the team naturally sees they couldn't rise to the occasion. So, and then they're just not the right person in the right seat, right? Then they weren't the right leader. They're an executor and not an integrator. That's somebody that can make the things, and they maybe need the conversation that they need to go into an execute position instead.
So what did you do to help you to coach yourself through letting go? What are some tips you can, like, for me, I always looked towards friends or mentors for insight. Like, hey, I'm struggling with this. Like, hey, what are some things you did to like help if I'm struggling letting go and I know I need to, but how do you coach yourself through it?
One, I did a lot of personal work. And I think whether it was on the episode or we said before of like yourself, business, your family, all intertwined. There's not a line. So I love that we talk about all of them because it's not like here I am the businesswoman and here I am a mom and here I am a friend. It's who you are like at your core and all the things that have happened to you, that the insecurities that have happened in relationships, in marriages, for you as a child, all of those things affect how you are as a leader.
And how you show up.
How you show up, your ability to let go. So one is just being aware of that and knowing that to progress your company to the next level requires a different version of you. A lot of people think they can just like block out, like, I don't need to do the work on myself or heal these things that I've got going on wrong. And yes, you do. Mm-hmm. The biggest thing that will help you with that. And so putting myself in those situations, like going to things that made me super uncomfortable, coaches, big experiences where I had to let go of control and trust. And that made a just big difference in who I was. And so that would be my biggest thing is that like, you've got to not be afraid to do some work on you.
Absolutely.
And have a coach, people that can call out your blind side, have a coach, have a mentor, have friends that you trust to call out what you're not seeing.
So love that. And then now my next question is, by doing that, what'd you get in return? What happened to Unique Genius? Like it's what the business wants or what it needed, right? You did the hard thing, but now what was on the other side of that?
It just is like, you guys can't imagine. It's just like this whole lid's lifted. That's what I want to describe it as. Because I just went through another intensive experience, leadership experience. And it's like you're gripping so tightly again, like at each level, you don't realize that you're like gripping, controlling the plan. And when you like let go of all the things that you're controlling, it's like this huge ceiling is lifted on your entire company and the people. And it just is like rising.
And you see your people rise. They rise. Like I've seen things in our people that I'm just like, oh my God, like I'm blown away. And just think how much I was suppressing them before.
Yes. And that book 10X, I mean, I've listened to it again, like 3 times recently. 10X is easier than 2X because 2X, you know the plan and you are the one doubling your company. When you let go of that control and it's a completely different mindset, you can X because it's not about you.
So in that book, the statement that hit me the hardest was you have to literally commit suicide with the current version of yourself. Yeah. And so you're like, oh my gosh. So for me, what I've been working on with a couple new coaches is the persona, like writing it on a piece of paper is this is the 10X version of Libby. Because sometimes we have it in our mind, but when we create that persona and what does she do and how does she talk and what does she represent and who does she stand for and who does she stand against, it then becomes real of like, this is because you have to start living it, but sometimes it's hard because it's in your mind. And when you create that persona, right. And you start looking at it and I shared it with the team and they were like, they were on fire. They were super excited. Like, oh my God, this is amazing that you, the more and more you start living it, the more and more you see things come to light. And also you find yourself in that persona kind of like automatically or easier. You're not trying so hard. It comes naturally because it's like Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan wasn't always Michael Jordan. He trained to be Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Right. And then when he stepped on that court, that was his trigger. So it's like, what are your triggers? What are you doing? It's been such an interesting journey because we were like, what is the 10x version? And again, it goes back to me sometimes saying, oh my gosh, like, I don't want to write that down. That's, it's not embarrassing, but you're like, can you achieve it? And there's no money in the persona. It's everything about how you're represented, how you walk in a room.
Yeah.
To what does the 10x version of me wear? So that you have a clear path of what that 10x version of you even looks like.
Mm, I love that. That's powerful.
It's fun. It's very fun. Working with some very interesting and different coaches to help create that persona. Mm. I hired a drag queen and it was the funnest session I probably have ever had. Why did I do that? Because they're like the masters of creating a persona, like a character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bigger than you, like bigger than them. And what is the journey they go through when they're creating that character?
Mm.
So it was super fun. So Angela, before we wrap up, any big things coming up? Anything you want to share with our audience? We've had you almost on now for 45 minutes. I want to respect your time.
Yeah. I'm in it. Version, you've just inspired me. Like, you are 10xing yourself in 12 weeks. And I am on a mission of 10x. Like, that book just spoke to my heart again. Like I said, I've just been diving in and working with my coaches on that and the major shifts that it takes. And it really is in yourself. So that's the biggest thing. I mean, we've got lots of exciting things coming and we've made major shifts in the company to take to the next level and AI and all those things. But it really all starts from me and, mm-hmm. and those changes and then how I can inspire those in our leaders to think that way as well.
But that's the greatest thing is that it all starts with you, with me.
Yeah.
And if then that means we have total control over our yes. results, over yeah. the outcome. Awesome. It was great to talk to you again. We have so much in common. I always think, oh, we should do more together because we have so much in common between our businesses, our past lives and marriages and children. And like, yes.
We do. So we're going to have to connect on so many other levels, Libby. Yes, thank you awesome. For having me.
Thank you for being here. Hiring sucks, right? Sorting through bad applications, ghosted interviews, and wasted time. It's all exhausting. That's why we built WooRecruit, the hiring system designed to attract and convert the right people for your business fast. What are some of the benefits? Well, you get more qualified applicants without lifting a single finger. Increase your show rate, eliminate the worry of ghosting. Track every single step of our process with real-time data. If you're tired of hiring headache, go to WooRecruit.com and let us start filling your open roles today.